Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to the Manic Candace Podcast. It's your girl Candace back at it again with a brand new episode of the podcast. And today, this morning, this evening, this afternoon, this good night, we're going to discuss quite a few things that I will never do again. And I know this will resonate with a few of you and will probably bring more insight into what you should abandon as well. But before we get into that, hi everyone. Sorry it's been 2 weeks. I got sick. I'm back on Ozempic. I got my taxes. I've been living life. So I've just been in love and in good spirits with great friends and great family. I didn't get into law school. Granted, I only applied to one school. I didn't get in. And you know what? If I couldn't go to that school, I didn't want to go after all. So here I am, trying to figure out my next move. I want to make this podcast like really professional. So the audio is going to change because I'm buying new equipment. So stay tuned for that. January 2025 has been quite the handful with the fires, with the terrorist attacks, and now with President Trump being inaugurated on Martin Luther King Day. So this was last week. And within a week, he has signed dozens, maybe hundreds of executive orders. One of those executive orders was to implement mass deportation. So that's what's going on right now in America, is mass deportation and a lot of executive orders being signed. I'm looking for a new job and I'm affected by his federal government shutdown and hiring freeze. Like, what am I supposed to do? My degree is in criminology. Like, what am I supposed to do? Not work for the feds? I don't know. But I digress. Here we are. You voted for him, you got him. And if you don't like what he's doing, then I feel bad. Like, I live in Arizona and there's a lot of racism here towards Mexicans. There's, and it's been prevalent like that since really about 2010. You know, white people would be really blatant with their racism towards Mexicans 15 years ago. They would say things like, go back to your country. They would call them things like wetbacks. That's not a nice word, so don't say that to any Mexican or anybody. But for story purposes, I said it. But yeah, and it was very racist. And I feel like it's back to that now. I feel like not only... like, I agree that immigration is a problem, but, you know, you don't have to be racist about it. You definitely don't have to be racist about it. And I think that's what's happening, is, like, it's becoming a race thing all over again. People who are Native American are being mistaken as illegal immigrants, as Mexicans, and have been arrested by ICE. ICE is a special unit that goes after illegal immigration. I noticed that the mainstream media is not calling them Mexicans. They're not calling them immigrants. They're not calling them migrants. They're not calling them refugees. They are back to calling them illegal aliens. That's what the federal government calls people who don't belong here, is illegal aliens. I'm not joking, like illegal aliens. Like the media is back to that, and they feel justified in doing so because they have... look who's in office and look who has control of the House and the Senate. It's Republicans. So one thing I found quite funny is that a certain demographic of people, mainly the Latinos, you know, from South America and Mexico, they are wanting black people, or trying to fearmonger black people into supporting them. Newsflash, you guys, there's such thing as white supremacy. And it's very unspoken. You have to observe. And you have to observe your feelings when you are the only dark person, when you're the only minority in a white space, whether that be school, church, or a family. So I don't think the people who voted, the Latinos who voted for Trump, I don't think they understand white supremacy, how it's still prevalent in society and in our institutions, and how it's a bunch of unwritten rules. You just don't cross white people past a certain extent. I mean, if you're a minority, you have to play by a certain playbook. And they came to this country thinking that they are equal to white people, in my opinion. And they soon found out that they are not equal to that. They are probably held in, honestly, I think some racist white people think that immigrants are lower than black people in their mind. It has been quite the political climate. It's been a mess. Right now, we're in a tariff war with, I believe, Colombia. One of the Latin countries said that they're not going to take back who Trump sends back. They're not going to take back those migrants. And he's like, all right, well, that there goes a 25% tariff on your imports. And then the president of that country, who he's sanctioned with tariffs, put a 50% tariff on citrus. So please stock up on oranges, lemons, anything citrusy. I know I love oranges. I love lemons. Good thing my mom has a lemon tree. But nonetheless, like, eggs are being sold out across the country, across grocery stores. And I was wondering, I'm like, what's going on with the eggs? And apparently there's bird flu going around, and there was a confirmed case in the U.S. But funny enough, I don't know if you guys remember this, but I did an episode when all the banks were falling a year ago, almost 2 years ago. And I did an episode about how I saw an article that a British company was making rapid bird flu test kits, like rapid test kits for bird flu to detect it. And they were selling stocks, and the stocks were very low. They were under a dollar. And 2 years later, we're having a bird flu outbreak. So, like, how? I mean, I wouldn't put it past the powers that be to manipulate the market and to create wealth for themselves by giving the rest of the world bird flu and creating a whole hysteria, creating demand for rapid test kits. Because I don't know about you, but I'm not for shutting down the economy again. I'm not for forced vaccinations again. I'm not forced bribed vaccinations again. I don't want to go through that again, and I won't. Okay? I refuse. I refuse to stress myself out over the past, and I feel confident in how we would respond as citizens, not as a government or a country, not the government, but as citizens. I feel confident in how we would respond in an event of a wide bird flu pandemic outbreak. So just stay informed. I know that I've talked to my local grocers. Look at me, my local grocers. I talked to them, and they said they get eggs in the morning. So just be there in the morning, and just know that by the afternoon and anytime during the weekend, they could be sold out. Pray for me, you guys. I'm currently looking for a job. Ew, that sounded gross. Job. Have you filed your taxes yet? Have you submitted? Have you even gotten your W-2s? Let me ask that. I feel so far ahead because I got my taxes back today. So I've been like online shopping, but I paid all my bills first. I didn't buy any weed. And I forgot like what else I didn't buy that I usually buy. Like if I get money. Oh, I didn't go to the mall. I didn't do any dumb shit. I was really smart. I paid off 3 credit cards. Gonna pay my rent. And I still have money coming through my regular paycheck. I wish you nothing but the best. Write off. If you don't think it's a write-off, it probably is. You know, owe it to yourself, to Google. Don't be afraid to use TurboTax and do it yourself. You know, if you're afraid that, like, you're gonna make a mistake, your taxes have to go through a finalization process and an approval process. So if there were any errors, they would have caught that. So just be confident in filing your taxes, everybody. Okay, tonight's episode is called Never Again. Never again. I will never get a credit card from a store again. What I mean by that is, like, when you go check out at a store, TJ Maxx is a good example. They'll be like, would you like to sign up for a TJ Maxx credit card? No. I've had a Forever 21 credit card. They've gone out of business. I've had an Ulta credit card, which is a good play because I do get products from Ulta and I can pay off that card as I go. I have a high limit, which is kind of the problem. But, you know, I've been able to manage that credit card really well. I have a Target credit card. Target Red Circle credit card. And I have a low limit on that and I always max that out. But I just paid all of those off. My Ulta, my Target, those are my store credit cards. And I paid off a bank credit card for a small balance. But I say that to say that I will never, like, sign up for, like, a Sephora or a, like, I don't know if Louis Vuitton offers credit, but, like, a Louis Vuitton card, they don't offer credit. They're not that bougie. They're not that ghetto, I'm sorry. But I will never do that again. I mean, like, the points and shit is not worth it. I've been using my Target card, like, for years, and I have any, like, savings. I don't have any, like, perks. The credit card with Ulta, I get a lot of points and dollar value back. So there is that. But I will never do that again. It's just, use your finance moves for things that matter, like a home or a lawyer in case you need to finance a lawyer, or emergency, like a medical procedure, anything like dentistry. Financing things like, for example, like I was applying for an Apple credit card. And I was upset that I didn't get approved. And I'm just like, the more you inquire about getting store credit cards, the lower your score is going to be. Like, I know this. I know this now, the hard way. But, you know, never again will I not take care of my credit is what I'm trying to say. And one of those things that hinders me taking care of my credit is store credit cards. Because I use it. And that's depending on how many you have, that's the number that equals the number of different payments you're going to have each month, especially if they all have a balance on it. So never again, now that I pay them off, like never again will I get a different one or go over 30% usage on each of these cards. Because that's when they start dinging you negatively on your credit if you use over 30% of your credit limit, which is, it's kind of dumb. I hate this whole credit system in America. I heard in other countries, they don't have this. I heard in other countries, they don't check, like, your felony records or your financial records to get an apartment, to get a vehicle, to get a home. And there are some nice, like, I was looking at this guy's TikTok from Thailand. And he didn't seem like a weirdo because I look at guys sideways when they move to Thailand or they visit Thailand on tourism because there's a lot of sex trafficking there, especially with children. Anyways, I digress. He lived in Thailand. He lived in a penthouse for less than what I'm paying in my studio. So it's just something to think about. Never again will I do anything to fuck up my credit. Never again will I give people, strangers, especially men, the benefit of the doubt. I'm 29. I am grown. I'm going to be 30 in 6 months or 7 months. Oh my God, 6 months and 2 weeks. Oh my God, I can't believe it. Anyways, never again will I give men or strangers the benefit of the doubt. If I feel like I'm being played with in my face, I'm going to act accordingly. I'm going to respond accordingly. Like, no longer will I, like, be like, oh, they didn't say that. I didn't hear that out their mouth. They didn't just text me that. They didn't mean it like that. They don't know what they're talking about. Like, it's okay. I'm not going to take it so personally because, like, what they said wasn't what they really said. When someone shows you who they are the first time, believe them. I have been, like, the laughingstock of so many groups because, like, I couldn't read the room and, like, people were playing with me in my face. That's why, like, for those of you who don't know, I don't brag about my podcast in person. Like, when I meet new people, I'm not like, oh, I have a podcast. Like, it's not something that I bring up in conversation because when I meet someone, I really make an effort to try to get to know them and try to make the conversation about them and, like, we'll learn about me later or you'll find out as you go. But like it definitely does turn people off when I mention my podcast because I have done it before when I first met people. Like, oh, I have a podcast. And they're just like, this pathetic bitch. has a fucking podcast. No one listens to her. I love when people tell me, when people say that about my podcast, like, no one listens. What the fuck do you mean no one listens? Why do you think I come back every week, every other week? It's because I'm in demand. And I'm in Japan. And I'm in Germany. I'm all over. I am all over, baby. I can't hear you giving it straight to me. Giving it straight to me. Just wanna get my back. I don't need to. Give me how to see. Tell me how to see. Just wanna get my back. Just wanna get my back. This was like part of the soundtrack of my life at ASU. Oh my God, I will never forget my college years. They were the best of times, the worst of times. Just know, white noise. Just noise, white noise. Your hair is steady. I love the automatic. You just wanna keep me on repeat and hear me cry. Sorry, I had to jam really quick. I missed 2016. Raise your hand if you missed 2016. I was 20, 21. I had my own apartment. I just moved out of my mom's house. It was the best. And I wish that for you. If you're 18, 20, 17, 19, and you're going to school, you're going to live on campus or you're going to live off campus, really close to campus. Wish you a 2016 summer. I wish that for you. I wish that experience for you. And even if you didn't go to college, I wish you a 2016. I wish you a 2016 summer this summer, because it was lit. Music, culture. It was lit. I took off to New York. It was so. And I'm taking off to New York for my birthday again. So if you're in New York and you want to hang, you want to be on an episode, do whatever, something. Let's think of something. I'll be at the Broadway Plaza Hotel, okay? August 7th through the 12th, we're still figuring it out. My birthday's August 10th. I will be 30. So I'm thinking of making an open invitation, for those of you in the New York or Tri-State area. And I want to come celebrate my 30th birthday with me. Ah, that'd be so fucking cool to see you guys. Never again will I finance anything except a home. So, no more financing gadgets like an iPad or a computer or a laptop. If you don't got money for that, you shouldn't be financing it. But, the next thing I'm going to finance won't be a car, even though I crashed my car. Did I tell you guys I crashed my car? Oh, my God. Hold on. I crashed my car the first week of January, first week of this month. And it totaled. The airbag, fucking fucked me up. And now I'm saving for a new car. I downloaded this app on my phone. And I'm 13% saved up for my goal. So I'm just going to buy a car cash. I'm tired of car payments. I'm tired of the whole car payment, insurance, gas every week. I used to pay, I'll share with you. I used to pay $672 a month for my old car. And now that it's gone, I had gap insurance. But now that it's gone, I feel so much more free. Granted, I am spending money, a little too much money on Uber. They unblocked me. So I'm not blocked on Uber anymore. I'm not banned. Lyft, it was really ghetto. And I will not be coming back. So I'm not financing anything except a home. I don't want to work. I don't want chains around my neck, like a credit card. Boom, that's a chain around my neck. A car payment chain around my neck. The only chain around my neck I want is a house payment. And that's it. Right now I qualify for a mobile home and I don't want a mobile home. So I have to make more money and save more to get the country home, single family home that I really want with a garage and a backyard. I don't need a huge backyard, but I got goals and I'm working towards them. I fixed my credit. Never, you know, never again will I finance anything other than a home. Never again will I smoke cigarettes. You guys, I used to smoke cigarettes from when I was 14 years old to 27 years old. 13 years. I could have bought a house with how much money I spent on a pack because my habit got to a pack a day. And Marlboro Red 100s aren't cheap, you guys. They're about 11 bucks or maybe 12 or 14 bucks now a pack. It made, like, I get complimented so much on my scent. Everywhere I go, you smell really good, you smell really good, you smell really good. Like, the cashiers of where I go, the stores I go to. Today it was my nurse that gave me the compliment. And it was just like, I have smelled cigarettes from, now I can smell it a mile away. Before I had that nose blindness that all smokers get, and taste blindness as well. When you smoke chronically, you can't smell it anymore. You can't taste it anymore, but it's all over your clothes. It's in your belongings. It's in your bed. It's in your hair, especially. And when you sweat, you give out a certain smell, and it's the nicotine coming out of your pores. It's disgusting. It's ridiculous. And I will never again smoke cigarettes. Like, you couldn't pay me to pick up a single cigarette and put it in my mouth. And like, I whitened my teeth, you guys. I've done a lot of reverse damage to myself. Like, enhanced. Like, I've whitened my teeth a few times. Got my teeth white because I would smoke cigarettes and drink coffee and drink tea all day. I would smoke a pack a day. And my smile, I have a beautiful smile, but it was yellow. It was ugly. After 13 years of smoking cigarettes, it was disgusting. And shame on everyone who had a hand in enabling me smoking cigarettes, cultivating a habit from 14 years old. It was the guys at the smoke shop. It was the people in the parking lot that said yes to a minor when they asked for cigarettes. It was my mother who bought it for me when I was 16. All of you go to jail instantly for messing up my life, messing up my lungs. I had no chance. I'm just kidding. Never again will I not take accountability. I'm too grown not to recognize when I'm in the wrong, and I'm too grown not to apologize when I am in the wrong. I will say that I'm too grown to find myself in situations where I am in the wrong, but if I do find myself in a situation where I am in the wrong, whether it's my thought process or maybe I lost my cool and I hit someone or I hit something and I made a big mistake. You know, never again. Never again will I crash out online. I've crashed out and I post like a bunch of stories talking shit and I'll post screenshots and it's like, girl, are you okay? I've done that a couple times. And I will say I'm a retired crash out, online crash out, which is a good thing. I don't know where people got the notion that crashing out is cute. It's not cute at all. It's very disturbing and it like ruins your reputation. Don't crash out, please. By all means, don't crash out. Never again will I participate heavily in drug culture. I used to be all about like, yeah, let's get high. Like, I would tweet about it. Like, I'm high. Just got high. About to get high. Woo woo. Like, it's not funny. It's not cute. I made myself look dumb in the past by constantly promoting this like drug lifestyle that I was really into in college. So like, no more. Never again. It's giving. You need professional help, and that's not what I want to give at all. Never again will I hate myself. And never, that ties into like, never again will I buy clothes that don't fit me. It took me a long time to realize that the more I tried to squeeze into sizes that didn't fit me, the more I tried to suck it in, the more I tried to make it button and make it zip and make it seem like I was comfortable if it zipped barely. It took me a long time to realize that if I just sized up to the appropriate size, to my size, whatever it was at the time, I would have looked 10 times better than trying to squeeze into a size that wasn't mine, that I made myself believe that I would fit into eventually very soon, which never would happen. So never again will I buy clothes that don't fit me, because I don't deserve to put myself through that. I have body dysmorphia. Sometimes it's really hard to look myself in the mirror when I'm naked. Sometimes it's hard to look at myself in the mirror at all when I'm changing, when I'm putting on a bra, when I'm trying to like maneuver or try to adjust my posture inside a shirt. And look, there's my belly. I can't do anything about that except starve. So I'm on Ozempic. I have a bad relationship with food. So don't model your food behavior or your food habits after me, because I battle pretty hard every day with numbers, with unhealthy habits, with unhealthy thought patterns. And I can admit this on a podcast. On my podcast, this is about mental health. And it's about bettering yourself, and it's about insight on different topics that are miscellaneous but still can tie together in the overall theme of mental health and well-being and comedy. So never again will I hate myself. I'm too smart. I'm like, there's a lot of things about me that I really like, that if I saw them in another person, I would fall in love. If I met myself, I would be obsessed with myself. Like, I look at pictures, like, in my photo album from years ago, and I'm like, that day I felt so ugly. That day. But looking back 3 years later, I feel so much more beautiful. And I just want to give my younger self a hug. Like, I just want to give my 25-year-old self a hug. And saying that you're doing a really great job. You're doing a really great job. And to keep going and forget about the people you really care about right now, because in the end, they don't give a shit. You are too loving and you are too kind. Stop giving it away for free. That's what I would tell my younger self. I'm 29. But if I could tell my 25-year-old self, like, stop giving people all of you when they don't deserve it. And it wasn't just men, it was friendships. It was I had a persona, I had an ego that I portrayed online, and I did a lot of maintenance for it. I posted a lot. I put myself, and never again will I place social media and internet fame, local internet fame, keyword local. I will never put that on a pedestal again, because it all comes crumbling down eventually. Especially if you like to show your personality like I do. It rubs people the wrong way. I have rubbed people the wrong way. And do I give a shit? Kinda. But at the same time, like, if I rub them the wrong way for being real, then I'm not apologizing. Putting social media on a pedestal was one of the biggest mistakes that I made in my young adult life. I don't blame myself for doing it as a teenager, because I was a teenager. But as an adult, putting it as on a pedestal and feeling bad for not having 1,000 followers, 2,000 followers, not having 100 likes on Instagram. Like, I could give two shits, because you know what? I have many accounts, and some accounts are really, really big, but no one has ever seen my face on those accounts. No one knows about my podcast on those accounts. No, like, people probably think I'm a man from Europe on these accounts, because I just share my raw talent and my art. And the people that found the audience that I have is so niche, it's so specific. And I'm so thankful for it. Like, that's the kind of notoriety, online fame you should be chasing. Not putting yourself, like, if you want to be an influencer, this doesn't apply. But if you are someone who just validates themselves or places their value, and never again will I do this, I will never again place my value, my sense of self-worth, into the hands of other people, especially strangers online. If so-and-so, who I think is a cool person, who has a lot of clout, doesn't like my photo but follows me or stops following me, like, I'm not going to feel bad anymore, because I'm not going to do that to myself. Like, you got to take accountability, at least I do, is take accountability for my feelings and my actions. I'm not a victim of my feelings. I can have control over my feelings. And knowing that is so liberating. And I never again will allow myself to be depressed. Newsflash, there are studies of coming out saying that the psychologists and the psychiatrists, they have no idea where depression comes from, what causes it, how to treat it. They're not even sure if it's a real fucking thing. But if you experience periods in your life where you have been just sluggish and thuggish and disgusting and down and out and can't do anything to get yourself up despite life continuing on, that you are just regressing at a rapid rate and you're rotting in your own home. You know, I believe depression, I believe mental illness, they're all just states of, it's all a state of mind. And those states of mind have habitual thought patterns which tend to be negative, and therefore your behavior tends to not be so impactful, which is therefore negative. Hygiene has gone out the window for me when I was depressed, and I will not allow myself to get depressed. Because one, it starts with you. It starts with taking care of yourself. Is your body in good stance? Have you been drinking water? Have you been eating appropriately? Have you been taking vitamins? Have you been exercising regularly? If the answer is no to two or more of those questions, then you are out of balance, my friend. And a lot of side effects can happen to you when you're out of balance, when your body needs something, when it needs sleep, when it needs something vital. Okay? Pay attention to your body, because that's where it starts. And pay attention to your environment. Is your room dirty? Is your floor dirty? Is your floor beds, is the edges of the wall at the bottom, the floorboards, are they dusty? Are they grimy? Do you need a deep clean? Do you need a higher help to get you started? Like, you know, when it comes to like your hygiene and your well-being and your environment, be selfish. If you are not the type of person to clean, or you don't know how to clean and you want to learn, hire someone to teach you and to do it the first time so you can do it right the second time, third, fourth, fifth. I used to hate cleaning, but it is vital for a good mind. And so I don't mind doing the dishes. I don't mind scrubbing extra hard with my magic eraser and getting all the scum out of the shower because it can be shiny again. I don't mind mopping because it shines my floors. I don't mind wiping down every little thing because I won't get sick and the dust will subside. And people will feel a lot more welcome in my home if I clean it. And I will feel more welcome in my mind and be more kind to myself if I don't have to worry about dirty this, clutter that. Because when things are just in your face and all over your room or all over your space, especially if you have a small space, it wreaks havoc on your psyche, on your mind. All you can think about is, oh my God, I got to get this clean. I got to get this clean. You're not focused on what you need to do that requires your full undivided attention. And it will give you feelings of disappointment and disgust towards yourself because you choose to live in a filthy space. So never again will I do that. Never again will I neglect my beauty maintenance. Never again will I neglect my skincare routine or my hair care routine. These are very important to my aesthetic, to how I appear. When I keep up with my skincare and when I keep up with my hair care, you guys, I get a lot of compliments. I appear to be healthy. And when I don't keep up with my skincare or my hair care or grooming, brushing my teeth, you know, slipping back into that state of mind and depression, I worry people that I'm not doing good. Because those are that's the first thing to go is like your looks or how you take care of yourself. It's evident when you are and when you're not, especially if you're known to have mental illness. Your loved ones are looking for signs that you are doing good. And one of those big signs is, are you dressed nice? Are you groomed nice? Do you have a nice overall vibe to you that's authentic, that doesn't come from drugs? You know, that's a huge factor too, is like you could look the look But you could also be high at the same time and be manipulating people and be manipulating the system, whatever system that is, with whether you have a therapist or you're in rehab or you're an outpatient program or you're working with a probation officer. Some people can fake it really well, and I'm one of those people. So that's why I call it out. Never again will I compare my life to others. Listen, comparison is the thief of joy. That is really true, because when you look at where you're at, and you tend to be highly critical of yourself and your work and what you produce. I am, because I am not only a podcaster, I am an artist. I draw, I paint, I illustrate. And I used to compare my work to other people. And as I got to know these people, I found out that they've been drawing, painting, all this since they were 2 years old. I started at 14. I'm comparing myself to people who have 20 years plus experience before I even was born. I'm comparing myself to people who had lessons. I am comparing myself to people who had parents that were prodigy and were famous artists and taught them everything they know. Comparison is a thief of joy. Don't compare yourself to others, please. Because you miss out on how great you are and how much glory there is in your story. Everyone's got a story. Everyone's got, you know, something they've overcome in life. If they make it to my age, we all got a testimony. That's what I'm trying to say. Some of us are in our waiting season. Some of us almost have that testimony, but we're in our waiting season. We're waiting for things to, sometimes we're waiting on ourselves to get it together so that God can bless us. Amen. Never again will I leave my house in a mess. I talked about that. Never again. Let me just get through some of these really fast, because we're almost at 40 minutes. Never again will I stalk people. As in, if I'm blocked, like look up their Instagram on Google and like just like see what's going on with them. That is a symptom of being a monitoring spirit, and monitoring spirits are evil, and I don't want to have any part of it's kind of lame to keep up with someone who doesn't like you anymore. Does that make sense? So for the sake of not being lame, never again will I stalk people online. I never did it habitually, like every day or anything. Like once in a few months I will get curious, like, oh, I wonder what they're doing. So we don't need to be a monitoring spirit. We don't need to be that type of person. Never again will I treat people I care about in a hurtful way. I'm not the best at relationships. I can admit that. I'm learning as I go, but I'm learning from my past. I'm with Daniel, and like when, if there's a moment where in the past, I would have crashed out over what he did or what he said or what I perceived in the moment, I would have lost him a long time ago. I'm very reactive, but with him, I'm forced to slow down and ask myself, have I seen this before? How did I react? And how did that benefit the relationship after, based on my reaction? Because I didn't have the best reaction. You know, with Daniel, I'm very slow to anger and quick to forgive. Maybe because of our age difference, but like I am slow to anger with him, and I feel like that's allowed him to trust me and, you know, want to be with me even more. So it's just, yeah. I still have to say that I have treated people pretty badly in the past, my loved ones, my significant others. It's almost like I used to put on a mask, and then once things got real, the mask came off, and there's the bitch everyone's been talking about. There's Candace. There's the mean girl that just came out. And like, I don't have to get angry with Daniel. Like, I don't allow myself to get angry, because in the past I've gotten angry And it was over nothing. But then I don't want Daniel to view me as Miss Temper. Miss Bad Temper. Miss Mad all the time. Because that's how Ryan saw me. And like, once I stopped being like that person, I'm like, he's never, since we don't talk anymore, I'm like, he's never going to see how much I've changed. And if he's changed, I'm not going to see it. We're better off apart. It's safer that way. I will never again confuse discernment with being judgmental. Listen, I believe in gifts, spiritual gifts. I believe everyone has a spiritual gift. And they could be extremely unique. I don't think we can categorize based off the gifts that each of us have spiritually. Some of us can just know things without having any evidence, and then boom, it happens, and we're like, oh, I told you so, I knew it could happen. Yeah, some of us really have that ability. Someone like me, and it's called discernment. So I can spot things years away. I predicted my mom's divorce and the reason for the divorce. I can just feel things. And I don't know how, it's been like this since I was a child. So I found myself like passing judgment a lot because of my gift of discernment. Like it's automatic what I think about other people, and I tend to be right. But I have gone overboard. I've gotten mean. Like in my head, when I'm thinking I'm having discernment over a situation or a certain person or a certain event. But if I find myself being too like critical of someone's looks or critical of someone's job or critical of someone's car or just being very petty and like a hater, then I'm not operating in my gift of discernment. If you could decipher danger and harm from time, that's discernment. For example, as I was signing my mom's wedding license, I was like, I give them 5 years. Signed it. And 5 years later, they were gone. It was no more. I just feel things. It's like things that haven't happened yet. It's like I know they've happened. Like it's the knowing is like knowing my first name. It's a gift, but I will never again confuse it with being judgmental and then feeling bad about it. I walk the line. I will never again tolerate being spoken to in a disrespectful manner. This cleaning lady at my apartment complex, I didn't say cleaning lady to downplay her occupation. I'm sure she gets paid well, and you know. But I say that to say that she's the cleaning lady. I'm a resident, okay? You do not talk to me like I'm some thug off the street trying to get into the apartment complex for free without having a key fob or someone to bring me up. I'm not some brokey. Like, can you talk to me respectfully? Like, I do pay $1,500 a month for this fucking box. She came at me the other day talking about, I can't smoke in the elevator. Bitch, who's smoking in the elevator? She's complaining about how she has to work extra hard to get the smell out of the areas that I be at because I be smoking. I'm like, who's smoking weed in the elevator? So I texted her boss. I was like, I'd appreciate any violations in writing. Do not come up to me so boldly, because like she could have caught in this fade. But I had to remember that I work here and they could have evicted me for beating this bitch's ass. I haven't gotten out of character since 2016 when I beat Leah's ass. There's this girl named Leah Sauer who's got a scar on her lip to this day from my cigarette. So, like, never again will I tolerate being spoken to or being treated in a disrespectful manner. Never again will I be made to feel less than because I have mental illness, because I deal with it, because I treat it, because I live with it. I don't know if you guys can tell, but I'm a little manic. Don't let me I hope Charlie XCX wins Album of the Year, and I hope she wins a Grammy, and just all the success to Charlie XCX. It was a great year, and now it's FKA Twigs' turn to have the spotlight. Her new album, Eusexual. Let's turn it on. This is a song. Okay, before I get blocked on YouTube, I'm gonna turn it down. But how to lie, do you wanna meet later? Cause you work too much. My main character. I think my neighbors heard me like get a little loud recently, a second ago. She's like so unique, and like that's like, I feel like calling her unique is almost insulting. She is one of a kind. Like, she is like so far ahead in her style and just like her composition of her music, the way she sings, what she's singing, how she's singing it, and just creating a whole concept. So I wish nothing but the best for FKA Twigs and Charlie XCX. Love my UK girlies. Never again will I foster a poor mindset. I'm very resourceful, you guys. Like, if I don't have the money, I know how to get the money, especially in that instant. So I suffered, along with my mother, a bankruptcy where we lost pretty much all our assets, couldn't finance or get any or buy anything for 5 years. And during those 5 years was my time in college. So I did things out of desperation to bankroll my apartment and my books and my laptop and everything that I bought to go to school and to be in school. I did graduate, by the way, was so proud of. But never again will I have a poor mindset. I'm too blessed. I am too blessed to ever think that I will go without my necessities. You know, your mind can be your worst enemy. It really can. So consider like what type of mood it's in, and just if it's negative, like get out of it. Put on some music. Do you wanna be later? She's saying, hello, it's your life. Do you want to meet later? Like, it's so sexy and it's so deep at the same time. I don't know if I'm being dramatic, but whatever. Never again will I doubt myself. This is the last one I'm going to elaborate on. Never again will I doubt myself. I've come too far in my creative endeavors. I've achieved too much to ever look at it and say, that's not a big deal. It's a big deal. Having a podcast and having a consistent audience and a growing audience and a wide range audience between gender, age, and location. I couldn't have asked for anything better, anything greater, anything more cool. I love you guys. I love this podcast. I love what I've built. I love what I am cultivating and growing. And this is our fourth year, and I can't believe it. I want to say thank you to all those comedians that inspired me to do what I do every week, every other week. I try to do it every week for you guys. So I say all this to say that I will never play myself again. And I haven't. But, you know, if I do, I will share what I've learned from the mistake on a new episode of the Man and Candace podcast. But we're going to wrap this up for tonight. this morning, this evening, this afternoon, whenever you're joining us or joining me, I act like there's like a team of people around me. It's just me. It's just me. And I don't compare myself to other podcasters because it's just me in here. Everyone else got a producer, they got an assistant, they got a cameraman, they got an audio dude. Like, everyone, like, at some point when, like, that goes into your own pockets as a podcast producer, as the host. It goes into your own pockets having to pay Paul and Peter and Patsy. No, I'd rather keep it what it is and just have money go to me, like, whatever. But we out you. We out you. Thank you for listening to the Manic Candace podcast. Good morning, good evening, good afternoon, and good night, mis amis. Whenever and wherever you're listening, I bid you adieu. Bye-bye.
Taking that man in the back of the bus.